We appreciate Rita taking over at the last minute. She didn't know a thing about being the music leader till she walked in the door of the church here. A couple of us had to trap her to keep her from leaving, but we appreciate you, Rita. Now I want to start with some illustrations, and I think that once you hear these illustrations, you'll understand the point I want to make. Now, if you ask my lovely wife if she's ever been whitewater rafting, she'll say twice, her first and her last time. It happened like this. When we were at Prospect, there were several young couples that were about our age that were doing whitewater rafting all the time, and they said, let's get together a group. And so about 25 or 35 of us took off one Friday evening and went off up to Nantahala. Slept out in the woods with no facilities. I mean, you know, it's like, I think that ought to told me something. And I said, now we've never been. They said, we're going to put an experienced rafter in every raft. They lied. we go down, we pay our money, we ride the bus up to where they're going to put us in the river. And they all started, you know, pairing up and grouping up for this raft and this raft. And when we get done, it's me, my sweet wife, our daughter Sarah, and her best friend. Me, my wife, and two 11-year-olds. I say, where's my experience rafter? Sorry, preacher, this is just the way it is. Well, you know, we had a choice. We could have got in the river and did, or we could have walked the 5 or 10 miles back down the road dragging the raft with us, you know. So we decided to get in the raft, and I don't know whether we went maybe a half mile. And it hadn't rained much. There was enough to run the river, but not an extra amount. And we slid up on a table rock. And we pushed and we shoved and we couldn't get off. So I got out in the river, and I'm trying to pull the raft off. I can't get it off. So she gets out of the raft, hits a slick spot under there, and next thing she's under the raft, and all you can see is just her face. If it wasn't for her life jacket, she'd have just been gone. Well, by then, she can't get her feet back under her. And the river was hitting her in the chest, but the raft was ready to float since there wasn't two adults in there. So I'm holding it to keep those two little girls go shooting off down the river without us. And they told me if you lose your paddle, it's $50. So I'm trying to hold on to my paddle, the raft, and my wife. And so eventually, Sarah takes my paddle, and I'm able to reach under Pam and dump her in there, you know, just like as a sack of potatoes or something. She was wet from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, cold, miserable. It was a lousy ride. And I was wet from about here down, but my head didn't get in the water. You know, a guide would have made the difference. A guide that knew what was going on would have made the difference. But we didn't have one. Now, our son enjoyed the trip. In fact, he became such, he enjoyed it so much that in college, that's the way he made his money, his spending money. Fall, spring, and summer, he was a professional guide. He could take you on some of the wildest rivers in eastern United States and enjoy it. Now, one of his stories is that he had a group of Girl Scouts in a raft. And they got so far ahead of everybody else that he slid over to a sort of a calm place to wait on the others to catch up. Well, as they slid over this calm place, he's got this all these girls in there. Snake falls out of the tree right in the middle of the raft. Now, I'd have probably beat a hole in the bottom of the raft trying to kill the snake and sunk us all. But he said he just took his paddle and flipped that snake right out in the river. A good guide makes all the difference in the world. So if you want to go whitewater rafting, you can invite her to go, but I sort of bet she won't. She'll decline. We've seen blind folks out with their little canes. But even they've got a cane, most of the time they've got a hold of somebody's arm. Somebody to show them, oh, the pavement's broken up here, or there's a mud hole here, or there's a semi truck coming down the road, to help them maneuver. I've seen them sit down at the table and say, now your drink is at the right-hand corner of your tray, your bread's on the left, and your peas are at 3 o'clock, and your meat's at 6 o'clock, and your corn's at 9 o'clock, so that they'll know exactly how to eat their meal. A good guide makes all the difference. Somebody to help you out when you can't see the way. When our daughter Sarah was in the 8th grade, she was in what they call then the gifted and talented class. And the teacher was going to do something very special for them. And allowed all the kids in the class to choose out of a list of things. Well, Sarah and her best friend wanted to take sign language. And so the teacher signed them up for class over at Stanley Community College. And Sarah and her friend came over, and I think their moms had to come with them for a number of weeks, and they learned sign language. And for as long as they were in class together, Sarah and her friend enjoyed it. Fast forward 6 or 7 years, and Sarah's in college at ORU. Because of the kind of college it is, they were often having conferences and seminars and other special events. And people would fly in from all over the United States and sometimes all over the world. And they would pay, like Sarah and her now husband Brian, so much per hour to take a church van to go to the airport and pick up these folks for these special events. And so Sarah, as the Holy Spirit would direct, goes over to the airport, and she's got up her sign, you know, ORU special event or whatever it was. And the stewardess comes over leading a little older gentleman and said, "I am so glad to see you." Said, somebody was supposed to come and get this man, but they didn't show. He's blind and deaf. But he's come for this ORU conference. Here he is. And Sarah says, "Okay." And she happens to remember her sign language. And she gets his hand and she starts making signs in his hand. And they begin to communicate. And since whoever was supposed to get him didn't show, she carries him back to the campus, goes with him to the events that night. When they're over, she gets him to the room where he's been assigned. And then she goes back to her room in the dorm and goes to bed. What nobody told her to tell him was that he was going to have a roommate. So sometime after midnight, he senses that there's somebody in the room. And he went berserk. Now you think about it. If you sensed somebody was in your bedroom tonight and you knew there wasn't anybody to be there, somebody would be pulling the .45 out of the nightstand and pulling triggers. This man went berserk. And so they're scrambling all over the campus. Who was this girl that knew the sign language? And eventually they woke Sarah up. She came in and explained to him what was going on. Got him calmed down. And, got to go back to the dorm and go back to bed. Next morning, whoever was supposed to handle the man showed up. And so Sarah was finished with him for the weekend. But you see, a good leader, a good guide, made all the difference in the world. Without somebody that knew what to do, this man would have been in a terrible difficulty. And especially when the man was in the room, the other man was in the room with him, and he had no idea what was going on. I mean, he didn't know whether the man was there to rob him, kill him, or what. A good guide makes all the difference in the world. You know, life is sort of like that river. There's some nice, calm spots where you just float along, look at the scenery and the deer and the flowers and the trees. And then there's some rough spots to life. And then there's some dangerous spots to life. And the thing is, you only get one shot at running the river. You know, I'm 75 miles down the road, down the river. My personal river. Some of you are further down in yours, and some of you not that far. Oh, I'd love to be able to go back and get in the river and start all over again, knowing what I know now with the experiences I've had. There's some places I'd miss. There's some places I'd take the other side of the river than the side that I took. But we only get one shot at it. Isn't it wonderful that God in his wisdom and in his love gives us a good guide? Turn with me. We're going to look at two passages of scripture and then talk about a bunch of others. The first is in John 16. Verse 13 through 15. John 16. The Gospel of John. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus talking about the fact that he's going away, but he's sending the Holy Spirit who will show us everything we need to know. He will guide us in every way we need to be guided. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, who knows all, the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, knows everything, knows every rock and bad place in the river. Jesus said, he's going to come and he's going to give you guidance. Now turn with me for one other over into Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the real sons of God, who know by experience, who know by experience the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It makes all the difference in the world. Now, I was just thinking about this yesterday. If you went to some far place where nobody knew about the Bible, and you didn't tell them it was God's holy word, and you just gave them a New Testament and said, read it, they think, man, this is some more wild adventure tale. If you just read, just from the idea of like reading literature and not reading the Word of God, that's amazing things happen. Think about the way that And we're gonna, I'm gonna give you about six or seven or eight, and we won't turn to them, but you can find them. Think about Jesus. He was led by the Spirit. And one of the most interesting things is how Jesus always had an answer. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they'd get together in their little group and say, we're going to trick him this time. We're going to ask him this question. Anybody think of any loopholes? Nope, that's a good one. So they go over here and they ask Jesus, and he makes them look like fools. Over and over and over again, they think, we're going to get him this time. And every time, Jesus made them look like a fool. And they go slinking off and say, that didn't work the way we thought it was going to. Reminds me, you older folks will identify with this, the old Roadrunner cartoons where Wile E. Coyote's going to drop the anvil on the Roadrunner or get him run over by the train or something. And all every time, it's Wile E. Coyote that gets hit by the anvil or hit by the train and not the Roadrunner. These Pharisees, over and over and over again, tried to trick Jesus, and Jesus always had the answer. Think about the early church. And the Holy Spirit said, there's a famine coming. A prophet named Agabus said by the Spirit, that's in Acts 11, and said the church prepared and they ministered to others because the Holy Spirit said, you better get ready. The Holy Spirit said, you better get ready. Think about it in the life of Paul. And the Holy Spirit says, nope, you can't go to Bithynia. And then later he says, go over to Macedonia. Paul's ministry led by the Spirit. He just didn't decide, you know, pick a map and put a pen in it or something. He was led by the Spirit. And you know, there are times it doesn't make logical sense to our brain what the Spirit's leading us to do. Philip's up in Samaria and he's having a revival. People are getting saved, they're getting healed, they're getting all kind of miracles happening, and it's marvelous. And the Holy Spirit says, Philip, I've got an assignment for you today. Go down on the road that leads from Jerusalem through Gaza, down into Egypt and over to Ethiopia. And if Philip would be like I'd be, I'd say, well, now, wait a minute, Lord. They expect me to preach tonight. Church's going to be full. Lord said, no, tonight I want you down, this afternoon I want you down there. I've got an assignment for you. And so Philip goes, he meets the Ethiopian eunuch, he explains how to be saved, he explains the scriptures to him. It didn't make sense, in one sense, to leave a revival to go to minister to one man, but tradition has it that this Ethiopian eunuch went back to his nation of Ethiopia. And that's where all the Coptic Ethiopian Christians came from. It's amazing. One man became the key to a nation's salvation. Another one that didn't make sense was when there was this disciple in Damascus who's minding his own business. And the Holy Spirit says, Ananias, got something for you to do today. What is that? Well, over in a certain place, you'll find a guy named Saul. We know him now as Paul. He's praying. He's blind. I want you to go lay hands on him so he can get his sight back. And then I was probably thought, now, wait a minute. This guy, and he said, you know, Lord, he's been persecuting, imprisoning, and killing Christians. And the Bible doesn't say that he said it, but I wondered if he didn't say, wouldn't it be better for him to remain blind so he couldn't do as much dirty work as he's doing? But the Lord says, go and do it. Ananias, led by the Spirit, went to Saul, ministered to him. Saul received his sight, received his assignment, And you know the half of the New Testament and many, many churches result of Ananias obeying the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter gets word to go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a Gentile. Up to that time, they hadn't had anything. You know, the church was growing rapidly, but they didn't let us Gentiles in. But the Holy Spirit said, you go up there, and suddenly they realized when Peter preached and the Holy Spirit fell and they spoke in tongues and got saved and everything, they said, oh, the Holy Spirit's salvation's for Gentiles as well. Didn't you and I would have been left out. But you see, over and over and over again, the guide of the Holy Spirit made a difference. In fact, I've got a friend that's written a book called The Guide Inside, and it's about the Spirit of God leading us. Now, you know, we could go on in the New Testament of times when God's Spirit led His people to do special things. Well, the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. So what was available to Paul and Peter and Ananias and Philip and all the others is the same Holy Spirit that's for you. The same Holy Spirit that's for me. God is no respecter of persons. That same Holy Spirit can direct your life. Now, if a person is not saved, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in them. The Bible says, he that does not have the Spirit doesn't belong to the Lord. And that person's running that wild river of life on his own or her own. And sooner or later, they're going to crack up, go over the falls straight to hell. Now, we can be a Christian, and we can ignore the Spirit. We can resist the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit. You know, the sad thing is the Bible says we can resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. But, you know, we can also resist the Holy Spirit. There are things he can tell us to do, places to go, ways to minister. And we can say, not doing that. And he can be in our boat, our raft. But if we're the only one doing the paddling, we're going to be in a world of hurt. Or we can be filled with the Spirit of God. We can know Him intimately. We can get to know Him better and better and better. And He'll tell us around this next curve, big, big rock, you need to steer to the left of it. You need to take, this looks like the river divides here. You need to take the right branch. Because that other one just runs down there a couple hundred yards and ends. We can allow the Spirit of God to direct us and make a tremendous difference in our life. That's the will of God. He didn't want us to be, you know, ignorant as I was in that raft with my wife and two little girls. Didn't have a clue about what I was doing. He doesn't want us to live life that way. He wants us to live life directed, empowered, guided by the Spirit who lives within us. And you know, life becomes so different when we do that. Now, how many of you, in the morning, you're going to get up and you're going to say, oh, no, it's another blue Monday. I don't know whether I'm going to make it this week or not. It's going to be a tough week. Or how many of you are going to get up, and even if you're not, the Energizer Bunny with a new battery, but you're going to get up and say, wonderful, wonder what great adventure the Holy Spirit has for me today and this week. And go through the day listening. Where would you have me go? What would you do? Who'd you have? I talked last week about some of the experiences I've had recently in McDonald's. And some days I'm there, you know, and I don't go every day. Please understand that. But, yeah. But, you know, why do I go certain days? Why do I feel led to go certain days? And one day it may be at 7:30, the next day maybe at 10. But almost invariably there's somebody there. You know, same way in visiting in nursing homes and other places. There's an opportunity in, you know, talked to a lady last night on the phone from Siler City. I said, I've been thinking about you all day. She says, you knew I needed it. Christianity is not meant to be a bunch of rules. Do this and do this and do this and do this and you're a good Christian. You know, what do you say about kids? You know, as kids, I don't smoke, drink, chew, run around with girls that do. You know, it's not a bunch of rules. It's a relationship with a living God that's smarter than we are, that knows everything that's going on and that wants the very best for us so that when we go down the river of life, he's with us in the calm places, he's with us in the rough places, he's with us in the dangerous places. And when we come out at the taken out point, we step into glory. And we realize that person that's there with his arms out to receive us is the same one that's been in the raft with us all the way. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you're running your own race and your own without the Lord, you're resisting him, you need to repent. Some of us need to repent of disobedience. If you don't know the Holy Spirit very well, you need to learn to make his acquaintance. If you're not full of the Spirit, you need to ask the Lord to fill you. That's what he wants to do. Don't run the river without the guide inside. Don't run the river without letting the guide be the guide in directing your life. As we sing a hymn of invitation, if there's a decision you want to make publicly, I invite you to come.